We are in a series, we're actually finishing a series today titled Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything, and I trust that's been helpful for you, and as we finish off today we sort of bring it to a bit of a close. But this week's message title is You're Better Than You Think. So just keep that in mind, you are better than you think you are. So as we work through this, keep that in mind and just try and understand what the Bible is teaching us about who we are as Christians. Now last week we had a little text verse, if you like, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. It says, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Now last week we focused on Jesus being our wisdom. Wisdom for salvation is what we were thinking about last week, and wisdom for life. So as we live our lives as Christians, we're appreciative of the fact that we can be Christians. We're appreciative of the fact that God gives wisdom into our life and we can live a better life. It works better for us. Now, I just have a little confession to make. When I talked about that last week, that isn't what this verse actually says. And I'm going to talk about what this verse actually says today. In the wider context of 1 Corinthians verses 18 to 31, what I said last week was in that wider context. But today I really want to narrow down on 1 Corinthians 1:30 and just to have a closer look at what it means that Jesus is our wisdom. And it's in the context of salvation. It's in the context of becoming Christians. It's in the context of what Jesus has done for us. We are in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we are in Christ Jesus. And there's a number of things that I'm going to pull out today that sort of, I think it just takes us a little deeper in our understanding. I'm a Christian. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But as a Christian, this is what the Bible says. We are in Christ Jesus. Famous verse that we always use, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The word in, whoever believes in him, is actually into him. And that's, again, that's just a little bit different, isn't it? Whoever believes into him. It's getting into Jesus is what our faith is all about. It's not just believing about him and okay, there's a belief system going on in my head. It's believing into. And this verse says that we are in Christ Jesus. Christ who has become for us wisdom from God. And then the Apostle Paul, he clarifies for us what this wisdom of God is all about. And remember, we were thinking about the Apostle Paul writing into the church at Corinth, and there's all of this pagan stuff in the city, and there's all these pagan religions, and there's all sorts of ways and possibilities and philosophies and all this sort of stuff. And the Apostle Paul writes into all of that, and he says, you don't need any extra wisdom. All you need is Jesus. He is our wisdom. And he says Jesus is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Christ has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Now, righteousness means having a right standing with God. I think sometimes in Christian thinking, Christian circles, we sort of get holiness and righteousness a bit mixed up. It's not the same thing. One builds on the other, but it's not the same thing. Righteousness means having a right standing with God. So when we talk about being righteous, it's not about being holy. It's not about being perfect or sinless or anything like that. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about what is our standing with God. And as we work through the Roman road on the cruise, Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is falling short of God's standard. And God's standard is perfection. Therefore, Romans 3:23 is pretty obvious, isn't it? We've all sinned. Nobody's perfect. All of us fall short of God's standard. And without Jesus, none of us have a right standing with God. Think about any relationship, any human relationship, any relationship that you have in your life. If one or both people are not in the relationship, if we are upset with the other, They are not in a right standing with God. Does that work for you? They're not in a right standing with each other. And because of our sin in our lives, because we don't reach this perfection standard, we are not in a right standing with God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, Christians do have a right standing with God. Because we are in Christ, He has become for us, this verse says, and listen really carefully, because we are in Christ, He has become for us our righteousness. And I'm going to explain that just a little bit further on, but I just want you to grab hold of that. He has become for us our righteousness. The second part, because we're in Christ Jesus, He has become for us our holiness. Sin's something we don't talk about too much in church anymore. It's just one of those things in our generation. It's a reaction to the previous generation. The previous generation was all about fire and brimstone. You're a sinner. If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. Anybody remember that? You sort of had to hold the burn just to emphasize it. That's sort of the generation. That's a previous generation. It was valid in that generation. It was fine. But we've moved on a little bit, and we've taken a more positive view about our preaching and about our understanding of Christian faith. Why talk about hell when we can talk about heaven? Why talk about going to hell when we can talk about going to heaven? Why talk about the devil when we can talk about Jesus? Why talk about doing wrong when we can talk about doing right? And much of my preaching is along those lines. That's a generation that sort of I've become a preacher in. But when we stop talking about sin, we stop talking about the heart of the problem. When we stop talking about sin, we stop talking about the heart of the problem. And righteousness is a right standing with God, and sin stops us from being in a right standing with God. Have we got that? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Think about Adam and Eve just for a minute. And for what it's worth, and it might be worth absolutely nothing to you, I don't think about Adam and Eve as two people in the garden. I know that that's the historic understanding, and that's fine. That's exactly correct. But I don't think about Adam and Eve. I don't think about Adam and Eve in the garden. I think about humanity in the garden. If I think about Adam and Eve in the garden as just two people, it's easy just to put all the blame on them. That's my thinking. As I said, for what it's worth, might be worth nothing to you. But it's easy just to put all the blame on them. God creates them, and they're perfect, they're sinless, they live in paradise, and they muck it all up. How stupid were they? They had everything, they blew it, they messed it up for the rest of us. And if that's sort of my thinking anyway. If I think about Adam and Eve, it's all their fault. But it's not all their fault. When I think of Adam and Eve as humanity, it puts me in the garden. Here's humanity. God has created humanity. He's created people. Here they are in this perfect, they're perfect, they're in this perfect place to live. And it puts me into the garden. And it puts the blame back on me for my sin. And I have to own it, because I would have done exactly the same thing as Adam and Eve did if it had been Greg and Eve. Being perfect, I might have looked a bit better, but still would have done exactly the same thing. The word holy means two things. It means perfect, or it means set apart. And when we think about this whole thing about holiness, that's about being perfect. It's about our sin. It's about the things that we do wrong. And we all know, every single person sitting in this building today, we know that we are not perfect, even though we are in Christ. We know that. Because we're not perfect, how do we have a right standing with God? Because Christ Jesus has become for us our holiness. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit more in just a minute. The third part of that verse that we're looking at, because we are in Christ, he has become for us our redemption. So we've got some pretty long words here, haven't we? We've got some pretty deep issues to think about as we work through all of this. But we don't use the word redemption much in our day-to-day language. Probably don't use it at all. Redemption comes from the word redeem, and the definition of redeem is to gain possession of something in exchange for payment. To gain possession of something in exchange for payment. So every time you buy something, it's an act of redemption. Every time you pay for something, you buy it and it becomes yours. You paid for it, it becomes yours. So every time you go to the shops, you are redeeming whatever it is. A pair of shoes, you go to the shoe shop, you want to buy a pair of shoes, you pay your money for the shoes, you redeem those shoes. They belong to the shop owner, but you paid the money, now they belong to you. They've been redeemed. You own it. Brought it back. As Christians, I don't want to go on this for too much longer, but we know we sin. We do, we say, we think the wrong things. And before we gave our lives to Jesus, sin separated us from God. We were not in a right standing with God. We didn't belong to God. We were not in Christ before we became Christians. But this verse says Jesus has become for us our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Now listen, folks, that is not the same as Jesus has made us righteous, holy, and redeemed. And it's that word holy that proves my point. Because you're not perfect. You're not perfect. So Jesus hasn't miraculously made us all perfect, and we all live this perfect sinful life. The key is Jesus has become for us. Jesus has become for us our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We are in Christ. We are Christians, but we are definitely not sinless. What happens, and I want you to just really grab hold of this, I want you to hold it and understand this. What happens is that Jesus applies his standing with God to us. Jesus has become for us our righteousness. Jesus has become for us, he has applied his righteousness to us, which means that we then have a right standing with God. You got it? Is it messing with your head a little bit? Because this is actually the understanding that we need to have. Jesus applies his holiness to us. That's where this dilemma of who am I? I'm not perfect. Some of us have sinned today. It's not even 11 o'clock yet. That's who we are. So how does this work? Jesus applies his standing with God to us. He applies his holiness to us. And Jesus didn't just pay a price to redeem us, to buy us back. Jesus was the price. He was the price, and he paid it, and he continues to pay it for every single time a person gives their life to Jesus. It's been paid. Jesus has become for us. It's like we're standing at the throne of God. Just get that picture in your mind. And I'm thinking the throne of God, and I'm standing at the throne of God, and here I am, and God's looking at me, and I'm standing there, and because Jesus has applied his righteousness and his holiness, and he's bought me, it's like as if I'm standing in Jesus' shoes, and I'm wrapped in Jesus' huge overcoat, and it's his overcoat of holiness, if you like, and it's covers over all of my sin-stained clothes, the black and white that I'm wearing at the minute, and I've got a big sticker on my forehead that says, paid in full. God is looking at me, but what he sees all wrapped over me is Jesus' righteousness and his holiness. And he sees that Jesus has paid the price and bought me back. It's like your 15-year-old daughter going to a first school formal. And your 15-year-old daughter, she wears her hair in pigtails and she's got some pimples and she runs around with the boys playing cricket and footy and tennis and netball and soccer. And she's going to a first formal and she comes out of the bedroom and she's got her hair down. She's got some makeup on. She's got some lippy on. She's got a dress that you never knew she even owned, and she's wearing heels. And you look at her and you say, is that my daughter? Well, yes, it is, folks. Completely transformed. When God looks at me, what does he see? He doesn't just see Jesus. He sees me. But he sees me covered in Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' holiness, paid in full. When you gave your life to Jesus, you were transformed. It's still you, but Jesus has become for us our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. And Jesus' death on the cross was the price that he paid to buy us back. And when you gave your life to Jesus, he applied his righteousness, holiness to you, and you stand before the throne of God with no shame, with no embarrassment, with no guilt, because Romans 8 verse 1 tells us, therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done on the cross with his resurrection, as we came to him and we gave our lives to him and said, Jesus, we want you in our lives, forgive us of our sin, then he applied his righteousness, his holiness, and his redemption to our lives. And there's no condemnation. When God looks at me standing before the throne of God, what is there to condemn? Despite who we are and what we know we're like, what is there to condemn? Absolutely nothing. Not a thing. That's not a bad deal, is it? That's not bad, is it? You know, as I said, we know who we are. But that's not who we are. When you gave your life to Jesus, we know who we are. We know who we are today, but that's not who we are. We're children of God, the Bible says. Children of God. It's all this. We're co-heirs with Jesus, the Bible says. It's almost absurd, isn't it? It's just almost completely contradictory what we're talking about this morning. But that is exactly what we thought about last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 31. I hope you've had a read of that. But verse 18 says, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction. But we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. Amen? Amen. You see, Jesus took the initiative to fix our problems so that we can have a right standing with God, so that we can have a relationship with God. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do we say amen to that? We should, because that's us. That's who we are. And our standing with God, it's not just an acceptance of God. It's not just God looking at me and he's up on the throne and he sees me down there and he goes, oh, Jesus died on the cross, I suppose I've got to accept him. It's not that at all. We have been elevated. We've been elevated from enemies of God on the way to eternal destruction to children of God living an abundant life in this life, waiting for the promised inheritance in the next life that is so good we can't even imagine it. It is so good we cannot even imagine it. Jesus has become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. There are no additions to that equation. It is all about Jesus. It's all about being in Christ. It's all about believing into Christ and accepting the salvation, accepting the things that he's done for us.